moment.
Steph, you're seeing something out before. It's going to be okay. I just feel that's a word for somebody today. Someone's wondering if it is going to be okay. The Lord wants to tell you that it is going to be okay. So, yeah, I just want you to receive that. However many people it is right now, I just want you to receive that. You can posture yourself to receive like this, or you can just to say, I receive that, Lord. It is going to be okay. It is. He's seen the beginning from the end. He knows. It's going to be okay. It's the Lord telling someone directly that today. Probably a couple of people. The enemy's been defeated. We've already won. Just receive that truth today. Just drink him in this morning. Just receive him. God. He's very good. How good is God? All the time, yes. It doesn't quite work, but I'm not Richard, so I didn't get it right. Okay, so I'm going to check if this is working, because last time I had some issues with this, that is. So that means Amber, when I do that, that means I've pressed the button. All right, so can we have our first scripture up, please? Brilliant. Maybe this will work. Excellent, I've got it covered. All right, so I'm going to read through a few scriptures to start with today, and there's going to be a little theme throughout these scriptures, and then we're going to talk about it. So, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139. It's a ripper. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. We can't escape God, people. He's everywhere. There is nowhere we can go where he isn't. Just wrap your head around that for a second. There's nowhere we can go where he isn't. He's everywhere. Even in places we might not expect. We can't escape him. Psalm 24, verse 1. All right, Amber, this is just lost it. There we go, thanks. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Thought I'd underline that. Everything in it belongs to the Lord, the world and all who live in it. So not only can we not escape God, everything belongs to the Lord. So he's everywhere and everything belongs to him. Let's move on to the next one. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. This verse tells us that God can clearly be seen in what has been made. God is clearly seen in what has been made. What part of God can clearly be seen? His eternal power and his divine nature can be seen in all that has been made. Why do I know that it's all that has been made? Because Colossians tells me this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created. How many things? All things. All things were created in him. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. Some things, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before how many things? You're catching on. And in him, most things, all things hold together. God has created all things and is in all things. He's in all things. He has woven himself into everything. Just think about that. We can't escape him. He's everywhere. But more than that, deeper than that, he's woven himself into everything. And just in case you missed it, John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Nothing. It kind of leaves no room for doubt here that God is in literally everything. Literally everything. Now, as a musician and creative person, I like to marvel at the creativity of God. God is a very creative God, but it also means that God is in all of creativity, is in all of creation. And for me, that includes, well, not just for me, it does include God being infused into all things. That includes music. God is infused, woven himself into all creation. He's in music. He's in poetry. He's in art. He's in movies. He's in architecture. If God is literally in all things, we can expect that we would see him in those things. Is God only in the things that are created by Christians? Absolutely not. He's in all things. None of those verses I read out said he's in only those things that Christians have created. To get your head around this a little bit, if I made a salad, just have a think about that. If I was to make a salad, I've put it together, right? If I was the one making it. But I didn't make the vegetables, right? I've used what God has made and been creative with what God has made. So God is there. He's already there. Another layer of that is God has given me, you know, a brain and worked out which vegetables go with what other vegetables, you know, and hopefully I'm paying attention to which ones go with the other ones and I'm making a decent salad. I don't make very many salads, but I thought of this. I thought of this while I was thinking about all this. But, you know, God made the vegetables, I make the salad, you could say God is infused in that. And hopefully everyone who tastes it says, yes, this is a God-ordained salad. But God is in music. How do I know that? Because God created music. God created music. That doesn't mean that there's no bad music. There's plenty of that. It does not mean that God's not involved. It doesn't mean that you can't have bad music. People have distorted what God has created. All right, there are, you know, God has given us brains and language and words. He's given us music. And when we put those things together, some people don't go about it the right way. It's like making a bad salad, if you think of the salad analogy. I'll probably leave that one there because I think the point has been made. But God can be seen in his creation. And music is one of God's creations. Not just the ones that know him. God is so in love with humanity that he's always speaking. It would make sense that he would speak to us through what is created. Now, I want to use a word here, and I'll use it once. That's the word secular. Secular music. I heard Josh Klinkenberg speak on this particular... That's my second time, yeah. So much for that. So Josh Klinkenberg talked about it, and he said, we're not going to use that word anymore because that implies that the devil owns something. When we say, I'm going to say it again, when we say the word secular, we write it off as only being worldly, as only being something that God can't speak through. And by doing that, we prepare ourselves to only see humanity and the works of humanity instead of the divine breath that is before all things and in all things. Now, I started to mention Josh Klinkenberg before, who's come and done our Together conference, and I heard him talk about this last year, and it was great. And he came up with another term. He said, what about marketplace music? Because marketplace, you know, it opens it up for, you know, you have what we have in church, worship music. But then there's marketplace music that's not necessarily written as worship music. But adding the word secular, that's my fourth time saying it, sorry about that. But adding that word, you're implying that the devil owns it. And the devil doesn't own anything. The devil doesn't own anything. God is in all things. And if you're still not convinced, God still created all musicians and songwriters. So if you want to go down this other road, all musicians and songwriters, whether they know it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, they were created by God. They are also still 100% made in the image of God. And in the Bible, God talked through a donkey. So surely he can speak through boy bands. I believe it. I might not like it, but surely he can. Something else Josh said, he said, often the church limits our faith of how we expect God to speak through a small handful of options. You know, often we hear him so clearly in one particular way that we go, right, but that's the only way. He can only now speak through this one or two options that we allow him to speak through without realizing that God is always speaking. Pastor Matt last week, he said in his sermon with regard to the widow's offering, he said Jesus saw what man missed. Sometimes we miss what God's trying to say. He also said last week, Pastor Matt said, Jesus sees differently than us. So sometimes we box ourselves in to only hearing from God a certain way. So I'm going to play you a couple of examples in a moment. I'm just going to get my phone set up to this little device over here. But while I'm talking about that, we've got examples throughout history of God speaking to people in ways that we haven't expected. I remember talking to someone a little while ago about the story of the prodigal son, and this person said to me, it sounds like Finding Nemo. And I thought about it. Who's seen Finding Nemo? Like, it's an awesome movie. Like, seriously. It's like all of those three parables in Luke 15, one after the other. You know, there's a father fish who loses every child he has except one, and then that one goes missing. And the lengths the father goes to get that one fish, it's like the prodigal son and the lost sheep and probably a few other things. It's crazy. You know, and if you want to teach the radical love of God, who will, you know, travel any distance, it's like the song Reckless Love, just to find the one, Finding Nemo is where it's at. It's a great film. All right. So I'm going to play you some examples of marketplace songs where I believe God has sent messages to the church, to us, to the world. And sometimes we've missed it. Sometimes we've missed it. So this first example, Amber, I'm gonna need you because I've only got two hands here. So this particular song I'll start with, this is a classic from the 60s. So that particular song is a pretty blatant reminder. Jesus commanded us to love. Somewhere in one of the letters of Paul, it says the whole purpose, the whole goal of our instruction is love. Now we know the world needs Jesus. What did Jesus, we have Jesus. How do we show Jesus to the world? And out of the lips of worldly music, we hear a reminder from God that the world needs love. Can you imagine the scene of a church getting together and strategizing how to reach the lost? You know, should we call out their sin? And here in the background in the cafe is that song, just going, hey guys, what the world needs now is love. Fancy that. Fancy that. This next particular song is a bit of a song I've known for a long time. But this particular example, I've got to scroll to the exact bit. It's like the words of Jesus crying out for the lost. Here we go. Can we give ourselves one more chance? Why can't we give love now one more chance? Why can't we give love, 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 give love? Because love is such an old-fashioned word. Beautiful, Dave. Thanks. Can you hear the desperation in that song? The desperation is there. Caring for people on the edge of the night. People on streets. They might as well have written widows and orphans, the least of these. It's the heart of Jesus. These songs are the heart of the Father for the lost. Speaking through vessels we wouldn't expect him to speak through. You know, sometimes it's like God gets the lost to ask the church to show them the way. This next particular song is like a desperate cry from the world to the church. I'm just going to scroll to this next bit. I wanna know what love is. know you can show me. This particular category of the world talking to the church is a very big category. There are many songs of desperate, we want to know what love is. It's like a prophetic insight into what the lost are desiring from us, the church. The hurting and the broken. But often, we haven't had the ears to hear. Often we haven't. A huge list of songs. If we wanted to know what where the lost, where they sat on particular issues, sometimes they're crying out and telling us. Now, of course, I know that the songwriters here aren't necessarily saying, God, what do you want to say to people? I know that. But I also know that God is bigger than that and will intervene and send a message to the church through a song as awesome as that one. All right. Sometimes it's even more blatant. Sometimes the Father just wants to cry out to the world and tell them what he thinks about them.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Mm-hmm. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I take you just the way you are.
Can you hear the heart of the Father there? Recently, there was a more modern version pretty much saying the same thing. This song is, it's been described by some as a pretty awesome worship song. Let's have a listen to this.
Just as you are to me, don't need apologies. Know that you are worthy. I'll take your bad days with your good. Walk through the storm, I would. I do it all because I love you. I love you unconditionally.
I was originally planning to stop that song at that point. I was talking to Michelle about it yesterday. She said, why don't you play the next bit? So here it is. Like seriously, you'll be like, why would you not have played this next bit? Sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like my wife's. Yeah, I totally believe it. But can you hear the cry of the Father's heart in that song? Open up your heart and let it begin. Come just as you are to me. I will love you unconditionally. You know, sometimes we get hung up on who the sound is coming from, who it's coming through. We forget where it originated. We get hung up, you know, as if God could speak through that singer, and we miss it. God's not worried about who he speaks through. This beautiful quote of Josh says, "What does it matter if a sinner gives you a gift if it comes from a king?" What does it matter if a sinner gives you a gift if it comes from a king? Wow. And sometimes God likes to speak directly to his bride. And sometimes that's in unlikely places as well. Well, I thought this was unlikely until I heard it at an event last year. But have a listen. Have a listen to God's instructions for the church here. Sing these words over yourselves. Here we go. It's even got woes. It's like it is a church song. Wow. Heard this other song in the last 12 to 18 months, and I was looking at this song and like I always felt something special when I heard it. Like, I'm like, God, what are you doing through this particular song? It's from The Greatest Showman. Who's seen that movie? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing movie. And to be honest, I could have picked a couple of songs from The Greatest Showman. But this one in particular, and I took it as a prophetic declaration over the church. You know, the church is, you know, let's be honest, it does get persecuted. But what should our response to that be? You know, read the Gospels, read Luke 6. You know, it's not like we're not going to expect it. It's not like, oh, that's a surprise. The world doesn't like what the church is saying or believing. No, we're kind of to expect that. And I kind of think Jesus wants us to have a bit of a thicker skin than we often do with that. And so this particular song kind of references that as a prophetic declaration over the church. So this is called This Is Me, and the bit I want to play is right here. This is amazing. Another round of bullets hits my skin. This one's got woes as well, so that'll do. Oh, nice little beeps. Okay, I'm going to unplug that, Daniel, just so you know. Thanks. Whoa, that was awkward. Okay, so last week, Melissa gave a word, and it was during the music, and it was pretty amazing. And I went home, and it actually changed the entire direction of this message today. I had something else planned, and then Melissa got up and spoke. And I'm like, I just feel I need to go on this entire thing. You know, that God speaks through all things, that he's always speaking, that he speaks through vessels we might not expect, but also that it's time for us to go deeper. And I wrote down to what she said. She said, the church needs to move into a new realm of depth. We are living too shallow. It's time to get deep. It's time to get deep into the Word. It's time to get deep into prayer. Deep calling unto deep. It's time to understand the Father's heart and the Father's voice. It's time to put the roots down and let them go low and deep. Let the water come and nourish them. And she talked about these trees on their property that seemed to collapse when she walked past them because their roots were not deep. And then she said, the Father's heart is that you would stand strong, that you would stand against the enemy's schemes, that your roots are deep, and the Father's heart is so for you. The Father's love is so strong for you. He's calling out for a church of fair dinkum people, people that aren't prepared to live the shallow life, but people that are prepared to take up their cross, follow him, put our roots down. So this next song, I'm actually going to sing it. Some of you may have already worked it out what it's going to be. But it's going to reiterate that idea that it is time to leave the shallow behind. And it also gives an example of God using a song from an unlikely place to speak the heart of the Father to us, the church, to the lost and the broken. But this song also contains prophetic declarations. One of the composers of this song actually said, it's two people talking to each other about the need and the drive to dive into the deep end and stay away from the shallow area, which is exactly what Melissa said last week. So I'm going to somehow lift this up. I'll look at you people going to help me, and I'm determined to do it on my own. Brilliant. Now I've got to put this down. So this particular song, as I said, it's got God talking to us. God talks to us in different ways, as I've said. But this song also stops and starts a bit and has our response to him. So sorry to keep you waiting. It's an amazing song, this. Can I have a little less of that up here, please, don't. So I just want you to imagine this is God asking you some questions. And you're a girl.
Something, girl, are you happy in this modern world, or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for?
So that's God clearly speaking to the lost. You're searching for something. What are you searching for? And sometimes our response to that is a bit like this. I know my response to that, those questions, is sometimes like this.
I'm falling. In all the good times I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I fear myself.
God has some more questions. So you might feel like this is God talking directly to you if you're a boy.
Tell me something, boy. you tired trying to fill that void? What do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore?
Our response?
Times I find myself longing for change, and in the bad times I fear myself.
So my invitation to you right now comes in the form of these words. In my job as a worship leader, and my role there, in our role as a worship team, we invite you to go deeper, off the deep end as we dive in, to never go back to the shallow.
I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in, I'll never meet the ground. Crash through the surface where they can't hurt us, far from the shallow.
Where they can't hurt us. As I said before, the church often is the subject of ridicule. Let's get deeper, church, deeper into the Word, deeper into what God promises us. And we will know that when we're there, it's like Psalm 91, in the shadow of the Almighty. So this is a prophetic declaration. I wish this song didn't use the word shallow over and over and over, because it kind of implies that the shallow is the good thing, but it's clearly not. It says this.
In the shallow, shallow, in the shallow, la 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 la, in the shallow, shallow, we're far from the shallow now.
Speak those words over yourself.
We're far from the shallow now.
We're far.
We're far from the shallow now.
You might feel you're a shallow Christian. As you sing these words, you are declaring that you're not.
We're far from the shallow.
Music team, would you like to jump up?
Far from.
Would you like to stand, please, Jude?
Now's not the time to shrink back, church. The band's going to play one more song. It's just an invitation to get deeper. No matter where you're at, just to dig in deep. Psalm 42, you talk about the deer panting for the water, as if that's us, yearning and longing for God. So just like Jesus invited the Samaritan woman to drink of living water, I invite you right now to drink deep water he offers you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He's calling us to deeper places. Next time you hear that song, just say to yourself, I am far from the shallow now. I am not a shallow Christian. I'm going deeper. I'm going deeper. I invite you to come up the front if you want to respond to that in an active and physical way. I mean, we can stand where you are, that's fine. God can meet you there, I know that. But as you take that physical step, you are making a statement of, I want to go deeper. So I invite you to do that as the band plays this next song. If today's the first day in your journey with God, or you know, the first day was the day you were born, let's be honest. But if you want to take that to the next level, if you don't know Jesus, if you've walked in here today and you don't know him, I also encourage you to step forward, go deeper. There's some people here who'd love to pray for you. I would love to pray for you to commence that journey, that lifelong relationship with the Father. But yeah, it's time to get deep, church.